Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to this episode of Chick Flick Chat. I'm Lucy Weston, your host, and I am so excited to be talking to you again and sharing this podcast with you. It is Friday, March 6, 2015. It's been a while since I've done a Chick Flick Chat due to things that just were happening, other projects. My co-host went on to other options for her career, so I have kind of put this on the back burner for a little while, but I'm back now, and like I said, so happy to be sharing this time with you, and thank you for listening. If you're here and you're a regular listener of Chick Flick Chat, you also know that I have a talk show called The Here We Are Talk Show. Both of these podcasts are spin-off features of the blog Here We Are with Lucy. com. I hope you'll go over there and you'll check it out if you're not familiar with it. And if you are, and even if you're new, please come on by, check us out, like this show, like the blog, like the other shows, tweet it, Facebook it, share it with your friends. We have a lot of great information, and I think even if certain things speak to you and other things don't, there's always somebody you know that you can share with. And especially regarding the podcast, I do appreciate it if you go to iTunes and give us a review, hopefully a positive one, but, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. So I am excited today because we are talking about one of my favorite things in terms of pop culture and entertainment, and that is Netflix. Netflix is just an amazing platform. It has been since its inception, and it just keeps getting better and better. And if you are familiar with Netflix and you have Netflix, you know that the library that they have of content is immense. And I always am searching and looking, and sometimes I'll see something, and I'll, oh, let me see about a certain actor. And I go in and I check, and I'll find out. But what I've done today for you, and I hope it really helps, is kind of go through some of my favorites and some things that I discovered that I want to share, and I have shared just in general conversation with people and said, oh, did you see this or have you seen that? And there's so much to watch, and it's amazing. Even the most popular of shows, for instance, even like House of Cards, which we are going to touch on, a lot of people haven't yet had the chance or the time to watch it because they have so many other things either in their queue or they're watching on regular network TV and they're waiting for it to get to Netflix later on so they can, you know, make up on certain shows they might have missed, whatever your situation is. And how I'll be doing the show as far as my list of important shows to binge watch on is I'm not giving any spoilers out. So you don't have to worry. Listen with confidence that I'm not going to tell you like, oh, and then at the end that person falls off the cliff and, you know, no. That's not happening. I wouldn't want that to happen to me for a show I've been waiting to see. I do talk in just general terms for this episode, but specifically I am looking and I'm always looking for shows that feature strong women's roles, and in particular the lineup I have today does do that. It's a lot of strong female characters. The roles are strong, sometimes supported by other females and or, you know, directly a male counterpart. But in most of these cases, you'll find that the women's roles are really, really important and integral to the storyline. Okay, so get your pen and paper, because you might want to make a list, and we're going to start pretty much with certain categories. I think this is the best way to do it. But let me just add this before we get going to the list. Binge watching. I mentioned that earlier, and that's why you're here. Everybody loves it. It's sort of the new fun thing to do. You know, remember years ago when the VCR came out and you could tape your favorite show and then you'd get home and you'd watch it and you'd be so excited. Oh my God, let's watch it again. Well, you know, technology always brings about new behaviors. And certainly with the internet, everybody has a new kind of a new paradigm of life of how you get through, you know, whether you're on Facebook or you're sharing things or checking things or, and it's so easy now, you know, it has completely changed even the old phone book. You know, nobody even has a phone book most of the time in a house anymore. So binge watching, I think, is sort of a behavior that's obviously come from on-demand or streaming options for television and film. And what's so great about it is it's sort of a temporary vacation, if you will. I think that it kind of works as an entertainment meditation, because that's how I feel. After I watch like something for 3 or 4 episodes, sometimes 5, I'll admit it, and I actually had a friend that said that they watched the entire first season of House of Cards, like got on the couch that morning and never moved all day long. There's something meditative about it where you're just, I can do one more episode, or I need to see what happens. It's really transportational in terms of just relaxation, and but with an edge and with entertainment, and your mind is still engaged, but you're sort of not doing any of the regular mundane tasks that you normally do, you know, and you're not at work, obviously. Hopefully you're not at work if you're watching Netflix or streaming movies and TV. So I like to think of it as a brain break, and you just kind of give yourself over to something. And what I do like about, you know, when you watch a show and you're really excited about it and you want to share it, it's great conversational content. So you could say like, oh, I watched this. What episode are you up to? I'm up to episode 5. Did you see this part? No, not yet. Don't tell me. And it's a great way to share and get a conversation going, especially with people that maybe you're not that familiar with. I have found that it's a great entree to getting to know somebody and what they kind of like. Do they like more comedy or dark humor or you know, dark things in terms of serial killer stories or whatever it is? It sort of gives you a sense of their taste and their depth and intrigue of certain things. So winter is the perfect time for binging, and since there's only a couple more weeks of winter, and it's been somewhat of a rough one this year for most people in the United States, I would say that there's still some time to get your binging in. Now, I'm only talking today about Netflix and the content that you can get on Netflix currently. So I know there are other streaming options out there. This is only about Netflix. But, you know, the shows all have merit no matter what. If you can get them on other than the Netflix original content, you can get many of these other things on other streaming options. So if you're on Netflix, you have the option of either having just streaming or having streaming plus DVD options. I take it where I have, you know, one DVD out at a time. I also have streaming. I predominantly use the streaming. There are a few shows that I like very much, and I want to see it and somewhat keep up with it, so I keep the DVD option. And we're going to start with one of my favorites. And if you have not been up to date on this show, never seen it, or keep hearing about it, and I think with each season, Downton Abbey becomes more and more popular. And in fact, my sister-in-law and I were just talking about it, and I said, I can't believe you're not watching this show. You would love it. And she said, why? I said, it's the costumes, the acting, the sets, the perfection of the production that goes on in this show. If you have not watched Downton Abbey on regular PBS television, this is your chance to see it on Netflix and go back, get the DVDs. I think there's about 4 shows per DVD, and catch up. Start at the beginning. It's not a show you want to come into on like the 3rd season. It's really, really a wonderful, wonderful show. And it's just, it's got such depth of character, and it's so beautifully done. And if you like period pieces, this is the show for you. Now, if you are just interested in watching something about Downton Abbey, and you've already, maybe you're up to speed with it on regular television, there's a documentary called Secrets of Highclere Castle. That's the castle that is actually the Downton Abbey set. And it tells you a little bit about the background and the people who are living there now. And it's just a lovely piece. So that you can get on streaming on Netflix, just to sort of broaden your informational base about Downton Abbey. If you like that and you don't have the DVD option, then I strongly recommend a show called The Paradise. And that stars Iman Elliott and Joanna Vanderham. Now, they're wonderful together. She does a great job. She plays a very young, innocent girl. It's Great Britain in probably the late 1800s, early 1900s, and it's all about the first major department store. And what happens in terms of building the store, the different departments, the hierarchy that goes on, the women in the dress departments, and how just the shoppers, and there's a lot of interaction. Again, similar to Downton Abbey, where you have, you know, the class structure in place, but it's beautifully filmed. The costumes are great. The acting is great. There's, besides the business end of it, there's a love story going on. It's really quite a lovely, lovely show. The second season of that just came on streaming on Netflix, so you can but go back and watch the first season because it sets up for the second. Really, really good show. And you may also be familiar from PBS on a show called about a show called Mr. Selfridge. If I have not seen that, but there is a documentary on Netflix called Secrets of Selfridges, and that is all about the making of the first major department store in London. And I believe it's I think the Paradise is sort of a takeoff on Harrods. So, okay, those are the first two. And then in terms of period pieces, we're going to come a little bit more current into the 40s or late 30s, early 40s, World War II. And there's a show called The Bletchley Circle. It is the worst name ever for a series. It just doesn't sound appealing. You don't know what it's about. It tells you nothing. Even the graphic, it's just not appealing. It's just four ladies' heads sort of floating, and it is the four main actresses that they're showing. And it just doesn't tell you anything. And for some reason, one night, I'm like, you know, let me just see what this is. The name just wasn't catching me for the longest time, and I think it came up on a recommendation from something else that I watched. And I thought, all right, let me try this. Well, I was completely surprised and blown away by just how well done it is and how well acted it is and the storyline. There are two seasons, the very short seasons. First season, I think, is only four episodes. Maybe the second one is four or five. Really, really good. And the interesting thing is right now, if you've seen the recent Oscar-nominated movie, The Imitation Game, they talk about Bletchley. It's the same time frame and same location in London or outside of London called the Bletchley, which is where they did all of their decoding and, you know, during World War II. Really very, very interesting and very strong female leads, four different archetype characters. And it's really a delightful show in terms of all of the elements that come into it in England in the time. You really get a sense of like the way they're living and the way the houses are. And it's just really, I highly recommend it. Don't be put off by that name. It's just not a good name. And anyway, so I'm going to move on now. I have a lot to cover. Okay. If you like spy genres and you do have the DVD option, because as of now, this is only available on DVD, I would say get The Americans. It is currently, but it's in season 3 on regular television. So if you've missed the first two seasons like I did and I wanted to catch up, you would never suspect that Kerry Russell, who we all loved in Felicity, can pull off this role as a tough Russian spy. And I'm not giving anything away. It comes up right away. You'll know what the scenario is. It is so good and so well done. And it's the 80s during the Reagan era. So you see the telephones and the old cars and the wardrobe and the boots. And it's fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous show. Very exciting. Edge of your seat type of stuff. But also a lot of layers, again, because of what the scenario that they're in as a couple in living in the United States. Similar to this, there's a show on streaming called The Assets, and this also takes place, I think, late 1970s, potentially early 80s. It's the Aldridge Ames saga that went on. It is actually based on a true story of a CIA scandal at the time, and that's good. It's not great, great, but if you like that genre, you might think it's great, great. I enjoyed it. I didn't know the Aldridge Ames story. I didn't remember that at all, so I learned a lot. And again, it has the old phones and the old, you know, spy craft that they're using, the dead drops and the, you know, the old teletype or telefax machines, and it's actually interesting for all of those dynamics. Moving into the political realm, there, you know, I never was a huge fan of Maggie Gyllenhaal, and not for any particular reason. I just didn't really, I don't think I ever saw anything where I thought she was, you know, a standout character in. The Honorable Woman, starring Maggie Gyllenhaal, is fantastic. It is current day. It deals with the Middle East conflict, very politically driven. She is flawless in this. The writing, the concepts that are going on, just amazing, amazing, amazing work. Only 8 episodes, and every episode is more interesting than the next. So I think you'll really enjoy that. I would totally give that a try, and that's probably one of those ones where you're, if you like politics, and you're gonna sit down for that and not get up. And in the same realm, we also have House of Cards, which I mentioned earlier, starring Robin Wright and Kevin Spacey, who play beautifully off each other. Robin Wright is just the ice princess and plays it so well in this. Her clothes are phenomenal. So if you like that type of thing, which I do, I love to see the wardrobes. She is spectacular in this. And again, the show itself, series, you know, we just started the 3rd season. If you haven't seen it, this is not a show you can pick up in the 3rd season. You want to go back and start streaming it on the 1st season. Another little show I found, which only had, I think, maybe 6 episodes, called Political Animals, starring Sigourney Weaver and Carla Gugino. You know, that was a really kind of a short-lived show, I think, back in 2012. She plays the Secretary of State, Sigourney Weaver does, and it's actually quite a good show. It's a little like one-off, you know, if you feel like watching something for a few hours and you like politics. Not quite as heavy as The Honorable Woman or House of Cards, but it's interesting, and she does a great job in it. And more current day in terms of what's on and a little bit shinier and buffed up, Scandal. If you have not watched Scandal from the beginning, go back and start it there on Netflix, watch it, and just revel in Kerry Washington's talent. And also I have to mention, and I think she gets a little bit shorted on kudos, is Bellamy Young, who plays the First Lady. She does a sensational job as the frustrated First Lady, and it's an interesting counterpoint of the two characters that they come together, they go apart, they work against each other, they work for each other. It's just an amazing ongoing kind of twisted relationship that goes on there, besides all the other politics that are going on around them. And again, if you like beautiful, beautifully appointed apartments and offices and clothing and accessories, you will enjoy that show just for the eye candy of it, especially Kerry Washington's wardrobe. Everybody talks about her wardrobe. Moving along in the same vein, there are 2 other shows, somewhat political. I would say this has more of a political bent to it than it does the actual direct politics, because there are other things going on in terms of crimes and solving crimes. But The Blacklist, starring James Spader and Megan Boone. Megan Boone, at first I thought, I don't know if this is such, it's supposed to be, you know, she's kind of demure, but she's working at the FBI, and it turns out that she actually does quite a good job, even though she has sort of a softer presence than many of the other women playing certain roles on these other shows. But she does a very good job. And if you don't know The Blacklist, or you're not caught up, definitely James Spader is just outrageous in it. Just outrageous. And you will like it a lot. I will give you the caveat that I think the first season is better than the 2nd season that's going on right now. So if you kind of trail off in the 2nd season, I sort of have, but the 1st season, totally worth watching. And in the same type of a feeling is a show called The Bridge. This, I believe, is only available on DVD, starring Diane Kruger, who just sensational and does a really interesting job of kind of a fish out of water, and she doesn't know, she's a cop, and it takes place down on the California border with Mexico, and her main co-star is Damien Bashir, who was an Oscar-nominated actor in A Better Life. He also was in The Heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy, which I reviewed on Here We Are in a print review a couple summers ago, and that was a fun, you know, new movie. And if you haven't seen that movie and you just want female leads that are funny, that is definitely a must-watch. It's a great show called The Heat, movie called The Heat. Now, all right, so we talked about the politics. Before we leave politics, I'm just going to talk a little bit about legal. And Glenn Close in Damages, again, if Damages is one of those shows that you will start, and from the very first episode all the way through the 5 seasons, it co-stars Rose Byrne. You're just a lot of twists and turns. You want to stay with it. There are a few times where you're like, oh, come on, you know, that's a little far-fetched. But if you can suspend your disbelief, it is worth watching. And Glenn Close is just, there are scenes that I still remember, and I haven't seen it in a long time, where she was just outstanding and just a complete pro. So, okay. We talked the politics, we talked legal, the spy genre, the period pieces. Now let's talk a little bit about the dark side, things that you might find edgier, darker, spookier, not necessarily, chainsaw-type movies, but that just have a darker bent to them, and you feel, definitely not for family viewing, more personal viewing in terms of if you like this type of thing. And one of my favorites, and I think mostly everybody's favorite, was Dexter. And, you know, 8 seasons of Dexter was just an amazing, amazing show. Every season was better than the next. You fall in love with Michael C. Hall, and by now everybody knows that he plays a serial killer. But the thing about it is he plays it with such, just such sincerity, and he's sympathetic, and you want him to get better, and you're with him the whole time. And opposite his character is Jennifer Carpenter, who plays his sister, and she is amazing throughout, from, you know, when you first meet her all the way to the last episode of the last season. Just really, really, really a good pairing, television pairing. In fact, I think they got married for a short time, and they're no longer married, but which is kind of weird because they played brother and sister in the show. So Dexter, loved it. It was sad when it was over, and it's because you really there's something about the way he played that role that you fall in love with him, as weird as it might sound. Gillian Anderson of the FX Files fame, I hadn't seen her for a long time, and she pops up in a show called The Fall. And that's the name of it, The Fall, F-A-L-L. And she plays a detective superintendent in London, and she is chasing a serial killer. It's a very cool, smart, driven, soft-spoken type of role for her, and it's a little different than what I think you're used to seeing her in. She does a wonderful job, and the serial killer is played by Jamie Dornan, who is getting very famous right now because of his role in 50 Shades of Grey. It's a much different role in The Fall for him, and it's a good show. It's a very good show. Give it a chance. First couple episodes, a little slow, but it gets going. Definitely, there's no humor in the show, but it's interesting, and she does a good job of trying to figure things out and deal with the structure of being a female in terms of pretty much, you know, an all-male Scotland Yard type of a scenario. And she's got some power, but not a lot in terms of her job. So it's 2 short seasons, definitely worth checking out. Okay, The Killing. See, I'm really, this is the dark section. the titles sound bad. The Killing with Marielle Enos and Joel Kinnaman. Really good pairing of the two actors. It's she plays a cop. They're up in Seattle or Vancouver. And it's just one of those shows where you start out, the first 2 seasons is all trying to figure out who did it. So if you feel like a murder mystery where you want to follow along and try to know who did it, this is the one for you. It is really well done. It is difficult to figure out who did it. I didn't get it until probably the episode before the last one of the second season. I had a sneaking suspicion of who did it. I'm not going to tell you. And that made it a lot of fun to keep tuning in and watching, and definitely worth it. The last 2 seasons of that, they're shorter. They're good. I think the first 2 seasons were better on that series, but they're all good. You know, if you like, and especially Marielle Enos is just sensational. So you can tell I'm using that word a lot, but it's true. If I like it, I want to share it with you. So speaking of female ensemble cast that is sensational, Orange is the New Black, a Netflix-only show. Everybody's heard about this. You know, it takes place in a women's prison. It's based on a true story, winning a lot of awards. first season was great. Second season kind of had a sophomore slump in the beginning of the season, but it ended phenomenally. So if you could get through the first, you know, the first season's great. Second season, like I said, starts off a little slow. You're like, I don't know, maybe they don't know where they're going. I kind of felt that, but then it picked up, and it really, they tied it together quite well, and I'm excited for the third season. And again, Breaking Bad, who hasn't heard about it? If you've been a big fan of it, you already know it. You can, you know, fast forward on this part. But as far as female roles, Anna Gunn, who plays the wife of Bryan Cranston's character, again, while she did have some accolades throughout all of the seasons of the show, she was just sensational from start to finish. The story arc for her, and Aaron Paul as well, you know, as Bryan Cranston's kind of partner in crime. It, you know, many people, like myself, started Breaking Bad, and I did not like it the first three episodes. I was like, what is this? This guy's in his underwear. He's going to be a drug dealer. You know, we all know that's what it's about, so I'm not giving that away. But the thing was, I just didn't, I was like, I don't know. And then after people kept talking about it, like three seasons in, I went back and I got the discs. I believe it's now all on streaming. I started watching it. I gave the first three episodes a chance. Again, I still wasn't sure. Fourth episode, I had to send the disc back. I couldn't wait for the next one in the series of the first season. And that's how it went for me the entire life of the show, up to including the last season. And I just didn't want it to be over. It was like a good book that you just don't want to end. I have a few minutes left, and there's just a couple of things that I want to go over. These are a little lighter, so I want to transition now from the, you know, the darker side of life to a little bit more smooth over, glossy and slick. And, you know, that's kind of fun. Called my three R's, and those are shows called Revenge, Ringer, and Reckless. So Revenge, we all know, is still on ABC TV on Channel 7, although I don't know what happened to it this year. It's been on, it's been off, it's been on, it's been off. So if you, this is again a show that you need to go back to the first season and start with the characters and the progression of the series, because it's really a layering type of a storyline. There is no way to come into it and not know what's happened. But Madeline Stowe is impeccable. And Emily Van Camp, who plays the main character, is, you know, really, it's, again, really kind of a tough chick role, even though she surprises you because you don't expect it from her. But the clothes and the home decor and the sets are just really outstanding. Kind of a shiny, buffed up show, you know, a la maybe Dynasty era in terms of the wealth and all of that. But the series itself, in terms of the script and the plot, really good. Sometimes it's a little far-fetched, I'll go with you, but most of the time it's actually pretty exciting and you want to see what's going to happen. There's a show called Ringer starring Sarah Michelle Gellar. I believe it was like a 2011 show. I don't even know where this was on regular television. Maybe it never even aired. You can get it on Netflix. It's definitely a show you could watch with some teenage daughters, and if you like Sarah Michelle Gellar, it's an interesting show where she plays two roles and she does a great job of it, which is why I'm surprised I never heard about it, because she actually does quite a – that's not an easy thing to do as an actor, is to play the two roles and to do it well. And I think she pulls it off here. So that's definitely worth a look. And then a really cute show that I recently discovered called Reckless that takes place – the set is in Charleston, South Carolina. It was a 2014 show. It only lasted one season, was canceled. And that stars Anna Wood, Cam Gigandet. I'm not sure. I hope I'm saying his name right. But he's really good pairing. If you like the South, she plays a lawyer. And, you know, each week it's a different situation in the law. He's a lawyer, too. They come up against each other. Of course, there's always the underlying love story that goes along with it. And so those are my three R's, Revenge, Ringer, and Reckless. A little bit lighter fare, you know, more family-friendly in terms of, you know, not such dark content like maybe Dexter or The Killing or Breaking Bad. So that's where we're at. Those are my binge choices, best for binging TV series to devour this season. Be careful on binging on the chips while you're sitting on the couch, because TV binging is calorie free, so you want to keep it that way. And I am so glad you joined me. So I will see you again not too long a time for another Chick Flick Chat. I thank you for listening. If you like this show, please share it. And we understand that every minute counts, and we hope our radio shows and our lifestyle information at HereWeAreWithLucy.com help to make your life better, brighter, and easier on your way to running the world. I had a great time, and I hope you did too, and I will talk to you next time. Okay? Thanks so much. Bye now.